sports. Sports, sports. Sports news. Sports stories. And if we have time, even sports opinions. It's the Sports Dump with Will and Allie.
That's it. Just walking.
They're just walking.
That's all they're doing.
From the couch to the refrigerator, get a drink, boom, back boom, down.
Boom, boom. That's the moment before you just hear, folks. We are the Sports Dump, and I am Joe Canale here with Ephraim Salam. And he was commenting on the two toddlers who stomp up above us. You might be able to hear it later. We also had an earthquake.
We
should open with that, actually. We are moments from surviving an earthquake. By surviving, I mean we noticed some of the glass.
The sconce was shaking.
And to be fair, I didn't notice it. Probably because my equilibrium has been thrown off by years of medicinal marijuana and working on a cruise ship briefly, which will throw your balance
that'll
off.
That'll do it, yeah.
But you got it right away. You're like, is this an earthquake? And I actually never really know, so I always look to the sconce.
You always look at the sconce.
I always feel like I'm shaking back and forth.
Look to the sconce.
Look, the sconce will tell you all. So we are ostensibly going to talk about some sports today after the earthquake talk. And just for your information, folks, we did record about 10 minutes of this, and then I had technical problems and it all erased.
He doesn't know what he's doing, basically,
yes,
so it's fine.
That's a good paraphrasing. But last...
You don't have to tell them that. They don't need to know that.
You know what? My self-awareness and my self-deprecation
You're
is...
very hard on yourself. Joe, but take it easy on yourself.
If you knew... how arrogant I am inside about how funny I am, you would allow me all the other self-deprecation.
Okay.
Because when this actually becomes like a show for money, you're going to be like, this guy's a monster.
He's a monster.
He was so humble until they gave him $12, and then he started asking he wants to be the station manager.
He's out of control.
But that's a couple weeks away, probably. But a few weeks ago, we talked at the beginning of the NCAA tournament, and our brackets were both done immediately.
Yes.
My four-year-old, her left side of the bracket was actually really good because she picked Virginia losing. She also picked the number four seed losing. Her bracket on the left side, which was a crazy upset bracket,
yeah,
beat both mine and my wife's.
Well, that's how it goes.
Yeah.
That's
her other side, she also picked the number 16 seeds to go
if
pretty far.
If you're picking teams based on mascots,
yes,
colors of the uniforms,
yes, right,
or just the numbers that you like,
yep,
the seed numbers, then you're going to have a better bracket than most people. Once you start trying to break it down and decipher,
yep,
what, you know, this is that, then no.
It's over.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's always someone random who wins those things. But today we're here with the Masters opening. That's what I meant to get to. And we just saw Tiger Woods finish up his mediocre first round. And we were kind of commenting, and I think it bears repeating, it was good enough to talk again about the concept that I actually, and I can ask you this, am I allowed to say... And I've said it before, so I'm asking this,
yes,
after the fact.
Right.
If I see an African-American person, for example, I was talking to a bouncer at a bar, and we were having a conversation, both of us thinking we looked young for our age. And, you know, at the time, I think I was like 42, and I probably looked like 41. So I was pretty cocky. And then he was like 50, but he looked like 30. And I was like, black don't crack. And I didn't know if I was okay saying that.
What was his response?
He kind of laughed at it. It was so true, though.
That's one that you can get away with.
Okay.
Because it's so positive.
It is.
Right? It's not. It's such,
yes,
a, you know, yeah, you're right. We got, it's like you guys got that one up on us.
Yes.
You know.
And I think something happens as well. And this, I'm sure, has happened much more for you in terms of, In the locker room, you are exposed at times to people from all different kind,
yeah,
of cultures and,
yep,
stuff. And so that's why people who, you know, you may, you know, end up liking country music or rap music when you wouldn't think they would. That's a very broad stereotype. But when you are in a locker room,
yes,
or my experience is being backstage. And I remember a woman I worked with named Claudia Wallace, African-American woman. Older than me, but she said black don't crack all the time. We all would say it to,
right,
each other. So kind of when you're in that environment with friends and you use those comments or whatever, Then you take it outside.
Sometimes some of those things you can't take
outside. And you see it a lot of times, I think, with basketball players like Yao Ming. He talked like a black guy. Because his guy who was at Villanova, the kid who hit all the threes.
He has to be mixed.
Maybe. Right. He could be.
Chris Mullin.
Chris Mullin, because they're in that environment. That's their world that they're in, and so that's culturally who they are, really. You know, I feel like sometimes, Chris Mullin,
he's black.
Yeah.
Yeah, we traded for him in the racial draft.
Right.
We traded for him, yeah.
And he's from Queens, I think, so he's a New York kid. Like, Larry Bird still remains white somehow because he's the hick from French Lick, you know? And he never really picked up the locker room.
But he was one of the biggest trash talkers in all of NBA
history. Oh, his stories are ridiculous. And he
cocky white guy.
Played a whole game only shooting left-handed.
Yeah, that stuff, yeah.
I mean, unbelievable, yeah. That's the kind of stuff you love. And that's what we were talking about before. Personality and stuff, that's what sports needs, whether it's with the athletes or with the people talking about it.
It does, but I will say this. A locker room, I can speak for the NFL.
Mm.
An NFL locker room is one of the most segregated places on the planet Earth.
Right.
And it's twofold.
Mm.
Not in the way so much that you would think about segregations like black and white, but everything is in an NFL locker room, and that whole team setting is set to separate.
Right.
Offense, defense.
And even within.
Right.
Groups.
And then within that, the groups, defensive linemen.
Yeah.
Defensive backs.
Right.
Linebackers. Everybody has their own group, their own pocket. Their own meeting rooms. Mm-hmm. We have team meetings, and we have offense and defensive meetings.
Everyone's watching different film.
Individual meetings. So you build the bond with those people.
Yeah.
Like every Thursday night during the season, the offense would go out to dinner. The defense would go out to dinner. But then you would have pockets of, or just going to be the O-line and the quarterbacks or the running backs and the receivers. And so then when you throw real life issues in like politics and Democrats, Republicans,
religion. Yeah.
Then there's even more divisiveness.
Yeah. Now they try to keep that out.
You keep that out.
Right.
You don't want to talk about
they call
politics
it the noise.
Or religion in a locker room.
And that's funny because that's kind of the opposite in some ways of where I worked, where you wanted to bring up all those things. The one thing that was missing was really the diversity. Now, we would have diversity, and it started
Do you have a token black guy in there?
For a while, it was a token woman.
Oh.
It was six white dudes and a token white woman for like 30 years. Yeah. And then there was a token, I'm trying to think at Second City. Tim Meadows was one of the first African-American. They had probably five or six before, but they maybe had one cast with more than one minority in the first 40 years. Maybe not. And then once I was there, they would... But there were different ways to qualify diversity. Like if you got right now there is maybe an Asian gay woman on one of their casts. Hmm. So that's like a triple threat right there. You know,
hire her. We can we can check all the boxes with one person.
And I think who it affects actually most in that world is probably white women who up until the mixing in other races, which didn't happen for a while. They were the diversity,
right?
So they got all the diversity
slots.
Now this isn't fair.
We're gonna go march in West Virginia.
And for a while, they were still keeping all the men roles and then rotating the diversity with the other few roles. Now they've gotten to a pretty broad thing.
Well, black people are funny.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now the one thing is that's in Chicago, and it was a hard thing getting people who weren't white kids who did improv and sketch comedy, because in Latino community and in the black community, stand up is more of the way that the comedy is delivered. And so in that way, there was some of
in gangs, stand up.
Yes,
gang.
Yes.
So, you know,
that's where the comedy. Yeah, you got to have comic relief in a gang. So that
not always just kill. Okay?
No, no.
We need some entertainment.
And that's where, even though amongst all those things, everyone's still liberal. So even if you have a diversity, you may have some different issues about race, actually, mm-hmm. which come up. But in terms of politics and even religion, in that crowd, you don't have a lot of hardcore religious comedians. So you're not going to necessarily be able to have that point of view.
Right.
And even though we want to argue about those things, we probably don't have as much diversity of point of view as an NFL locker room.
Right,
but
right.
an NFL locker room doesn't want anyone expressing
don't
any
talk,
opinions.
Which was why the protests for the last 2 years was such a big deal.
Yes.
Because the last thing owners and coaches and GMs want is a division in the locker room based on one's ideals or beliefs.
Right.
Period.
Other than the belief that we win every Sunday.
But we got a chance to see the clear divide.
Sure.
Because we didn't have a bunch of white players standing or kneeling
yes.
with their African American teammates.
And even the half measures, like Aaron Rodgers kind of made a half gesture of like, we're going to hold hands.
Right.
It was all of these things were such small gestures.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody spit on the flag. Nobody. They fucking knelt. I mean, come on. And so
you
Aaron Rodgers tries,
yep.
and it gets booed down. Like, oh, you're not going to make me hold my neighbor's fucking hand, even though it's a guy from Green Bay who you've known.
Right.
You're not going to make me.
You guys rode to the game together.
I mean, it just. And then the fact that like. Has Eric Reed gotten a job yet?
No.
I mean, is there going to be another?
Probably.
He's made Pro Bowls.
Yeah, he's a good young safety. But that's what happens.
But
this is what happens.
That's collusion.
It is collusion, and good luck proving it.
I feel like I could. I feel like right now I was.
They'll just keep throwing money at it, money and lawyers at it. It'll be going for 10 years before we even...
Right. They may lose the case, but that guy lost his career.
It's gone.
Even if they pay him the money,
so
he doesn't get the career.
So they won.
Because it's only money to them.
That's it.
That's the crime. I didn't... You know, this... I got worked up here because when I feel like... And I was just in at home for spring break having arguments like this with my father... And he's a smart
Who's
guy.
A known racist, by the way. No. I'm just teasing.
I'd put him more in the sexist department. He actually has a great. And
he has a black friend.
I don't think he does. Where
oh,
we
definitely
live.
Not. He no. definitely no.
he does not. But he has like he wants to understand. He, for a long time, he studied the Jews and he used to watch Logo TV, mm-hmm. And he has made efforts
to watch BET.
First of all, without any irony, Martin is like his favorite TV show of all time.
Okay, Dad. I see
he used
you.
To try to get me on Martin all
like,
the time.
You gotta watch this Martin.
Yes. That's exactly what he would say. I try to get him to watch The Simpsons. He tried to get me to watch Martin. And everyone I know agrees with him. I haven't had time to go
You've
back.
You've never watched Martin?
I've seen maybe an episode or two, but never appreciated it for what it was. I've seen every episode of Cosby Show, but I mean, now you can't even admit that that's
know,
any good.
Like,
no.
Cosby, what was that?
No.
What, who's
no,
that?
Who's that? Yeah. And that doesn't necessarily even count as
like
you're not woke if you watch Cosby.
Yeah, no.
You just watch NBC. Felicia Rashad Allen is not one of the most urban names. The collusion is crazy and all that. And I know it's been beaten to death, and so there's no reason to repeat the thing. But like Eric Reed, now another guy, I think that's just another piece of evidence. And the reason I got so mad is because to me, it's so obvious.
Of course.
But you probably have more experience in that realm and bring up a more cynical but probably more honest. They just throw money at it, and it may not go away.
But it'll be enough money to where we won't even care.
Yeah.
Like, it'll just...
And they get what they want, which is not having them on the
field. It's dying down. So the protest is dying down. They had Eric Reed come out and say, I will not protest.
Yes, he had to say that.
I mean, why would you make someone do that? Like, but that's their way of winning, right?
Power.
So no matter what.
Because they can't get any more money. What else is there to have? Power, I guess.
That's it. They want to be able to control you as a player. That's the thing that the NBA can't do because it's a players run league.
I was just about to say, I'm pretty sure the NFL is not going to buy our podcast
here. I'll explain the different dynamics between the NFL and the NBA.
I'm listening.
Who's the greatest basketball player ever to play?
I'm going to say Michael Jordan.
That's pretty much a consensus.
Fairly.
Right? Now, you may have some people say, you know, from the old school, be like Dr. J or, you know.
There's maybe three or four guys at most.
Who's the best football player ever to play?
I mean, yeah.
Think about that.
Even baseball,
it took you less than a second to answer Michael Jordan for basketball. When you talk about football, football has made it its sole agenda to make the shield, the logo, and the league bigger than any player to ever play.
Yeah, you can't see the players' faces.
And that is the control that they will never relinquish, because once players become bigger than the name and the brand, then they've lost their power.
All the way back to Jim McMahon and the headbands in the Super Bowl.
Think about that.
All the way back,
Right? So think about it. They changed. They had a uniform. They had when Deion Sanders and Andre Rison, all of these guys came out and they were flamboyant and they were doing this.
And pulling the socks up and then having the thing, and then they made all the.
Nope, we're not doing that.
The shoes.
Every player must have. If your team has black shoes, then you must wear black shoes.
Right.
If your team is white shoes, that's just what the rules. We're going to keep you uniform. We're going to keep you in line.
Right.
You are not going to stick out. You are not going to be different when you put this uniform on.
Yeah, and that's kind of the crazy thing, that in the greatest meritocracy, in my opinion, of all jobs, other than maybe like, you know, gladiator, which isn't it? These are the gladiators. Like, if you're good at sports, you earned a job.
Right.
Almost 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, crime will keep you out of it at times, but to see, you know, now since baseball integrated, I mean, and all the sports integrated, before there was still that. But now we're going back to, it's not a literal segregation, but the segregation is if you show your opinion, and specifically the opinion, because Jim McMahon was a bit opinionated and everything.
Absolutely.
But his opinions were basically innocuous enough to the NFL that it didn't threaten them.
No.
These opinions, again, it's the same argument, and I don't know why this got heavy, but it's the same argument where you notice that black people get shot 10 times in the back for having a phone or a shower head or something like that happened
anything.
In Chicago yesterday. Anything.
Yeah, anything.
Right, an item. And Cleveland police officers kept toy guns in the back of their cars in case they had to plant it on somebody.
Right.
And then a guy comes into the, like, has a shotgun or whatever into a mall, but they get him out peacefully. Without
like
shooting him,
or
the Dylan
possible?
Roof guy. I mean,
it's like that's
when you see those obvious things like that, and there's really no logical way to combat, to argue the other side.
Yeah.
I get so furious. Mm-hmm. That happened a lot with my dad, where he was talking about Billy Graham was good, and I was like, well, there's a lot of really bigoted stuff he did, and then he was like, that was a long time ago.
It's like,
so
what?
I go and I'm like, here's 2007. Yeah, but that was here's something about like AIDS raining down because
he was
got,
old. It's always
it's always
an excuse or a reason for someone to be ignorant.
Yeah.
Or
and I got mad at him because he's smart, but he was ignorant.
Yeah. I mean, it's easier to be ignorant.
Yeah.
The only way you can not be ignorant is to educate yourself, and that takes too much time. Sometimes you just don't want to put in the work. You just don't care.
Because it's not only the time that comes into becoming whatever, learned or getting the information. It's
woke.
What you have woke. It's what you then are faced with, which is the moral dilemma of,
like,
I know about this injustice. Can I just let it go?
Right.
I really think that's it. And that's a weird paradox with my dad, who's like super Christian. And like, I believe in a legit way. Like, I think there's a little bit of, like, you know, you get older, cover your bases just in case. But, like, he we have big arguments about stuff. And for example, he's, like a lot of Catholics, is pro-life.
Right.
But he believes that Catholics should adopt all these babies. Like, he's like, well, if I'm going to be like this, then if the Catholic Church wants to say this, they also have to say that.
Right.
I was like, you're gonna adopt a baby? He's not.
What? How does he feel about the rampant molestation?
Oh, he
documented.
He was an altar boy, and there were a couple priests from our church. Mm-hmm. One he spoke of when he never experienced anything personally. But there was one priest who left his parish when he was an altar boy that he has suspicions now. There was a priest when I was there who would play basketball with us.
Shirts and skins?
It wasn't that. Oh. But I've never been fouled so often and so hard by someone. He was the meanest. And he's playing with kids.
Right.
And he was a priest. And he would just beat the shit out of us. In basketball games, like playing the game, like if you were to play me, that was the relative difference in size.
Right.
And so if you wanted to just score by knowing that there's no charges in pickup game, he'd just back you in and like elbow you down. And he left, you know, kind of quickly or whatever. And I just was always like, he's a weird dude. Mm-hmm. For a priest to just play so rough with kids is weird. So he doesn't endorse or condone that, but he also kind of like, I'm like, aren't you furious at them?
You should.
It would be enough reason, right, you would think,
especially if you don't persecute them, you just move
right,
them to another
right, and you make excuses,
and have them torment other children.
It's a real, it's a dilemma, a paradox for him. Yeah, I know he's against it, but again, I feel like the more information you have, then. It's like the more obligation you have to do something.
Right.
So it's like, shit, that's a lot of work to know that.
Like,
it's horrible to think
I
that.
I have to go protest. Oh, gosh.
Right. Exactly. Well, speaking of like ignorance and the NFL and everything, this is something I brought to your attention a little bit that, you know, hold on a second. We won't dwell too much, but a news story today was that Bob McNair, this is kind of along the same lines, mm-hmm. He recanted he said he regrets apologizing about saying the inmates are running the prison. And in his walking back, he said he was referring not to the players, but to the NFL executives who have more power than the owners, which is kind of ridiculous. But you had a good observation, which about Bob McNair himself.
Yeah, a thousand.
Right.
All right, he's a thousand.
Right.
And I can almost guarantee someone in the PR department came up with this and said, hey, this is how we clean this up.
Yep.
You know, free agency and draft is coming up. We don't want people to think that we are what we are.
Right. we don't want people to think we are what we are.
Right. So you're put in a situation where I was there in 2008 when President Obama won the election.
Yeah.
And now take in mind, periodically, we would have the Bushes at our practice.
Sure, they're huge in Houston.
Like, they would be.
Yeah.
You'd be out there warming up, whatever, and then you just see Secret Service everywhere.
Everywhere.
It's like, what is going on?
How much Secret Service would.
Everywhere.
Like 10, 15
yeah,
dudes?
They're everywhere.
So they have a detail of that many.
But then you can't even see a lot of them.
Wow. But you know that there's just dozens.
So after Obama won the election, this is the only time any owner has ever called a meeting, said anything about anything political.
Uh-huh.
We're in the team meeting. Mr. McNair wants to say a few words. He comes in and he says, the election results are in, and you know, some of us are disappointed. Some of us are happy. It didn't go the way we wanted it to go.
That tells
but
you where he is.
I don't want that to cause a division in the team and, you know, moving forward. I was like, what is
there wouldn't have been.
I'm like, yeah, we weren't thinking about that. So when you make comments like that.
Yeah.
Like, it further lets you know. And then you get the inmate. First of all, it's not inmates running the prison.
Mm-hmm.
the saying is the inmates running the asylum.
Right. So on top of it.
Because of crazy people.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
So on top of that, yeah. you've even altered the statement to really identify what you feel and what you were thinking at the time.
Yeah.
We all know in this country our prison system is minorities.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Systematic racism.
Systematic racism throughout the beginning of this country
yeah.
has filled our jail. Now, it's some people deserve to be in prison.
Of course.
Right?
Of course.
But.
Some people of all races.
There of all are, races.
There, I believe that there is an equal.
Not a lot of black serial killers. Just want to put that out
no,
there.
No, not a lot of women either, or mass shooters actually either.
That's true. That's true.
The mass shootings.
Just want to throw that out there.
Absolutely.
You know? But it just gave
that's
you insight.
That's because no one will sell them the
AKs, right. You can't get the guns. Can't get the guns. Yes. We can't get. All of a sudden, now you got to do a background check.
Right, right.
But
yes.
I will say, in some cases, that's not true because remember when the Y2K thing was coming
yeah.
and everybody was like, oh, my yep, God, yep. it's the end of the world.
Sure.
So I was playing for the Atlanta Falcons at uh-huh. the time, and I'm like, oh, my God, I don't. What if the world turns off tomorrow and I don't have anything to protect myself
right,
with?
Right, right.
So I go to Walmart.
Ah.
In Atlanta, well, it's a suburb like Gwinnett County,
yep.
a suburb of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And I go into the back of the store and I said, hey, I would like to buy a shotgun. Uh-huh. And they were like, oh, okay. Oh, we have this with the Remington, yeah. the double pump and yep. the pull action. And I was like, no, I just get a 12-gauge shotgun. That black one is good. So he was like, all right, he pulled it down. He was like, can I see your ID? Gave him my ID, California ID.
Okay.
Not even a Georgia ID.
All right.
Which blew my mind.
Sure.
He was like, oh, okay. Filled his form out. I signed the form. He put the shotgun there. He was like, do you want any ammunition? He was like, yeah, I'll take a box of bullets. He gave me a box of bullets. He rung
shelf.
Me up.
Shelf.
Shelf.
You're not already.
Rung me up, gave me my receipt, and said, all right, and then went into the back. And I was like, this is literally an out-of-body experience. I literally levitated out of my body
right.
and just looked at what the scene looked like
yes.
to see what others would see.
Yes.
And it was me standing there holding a 12-gauge shotgun and a box of shells.
That and had just
I
been
said,
handed to you?
I said, excuse me? And he came back and go, yeah, you need anything else? I said, yeah. Two things. Number one, I need a case for the gun. And number two, I need you to walk these out to my car.
Yes, yes.
He was like, why? You're fine. You have your receipt. I said, so you mean to tell me, you and I was about probably 320 at the time. You want me as a 6'8 black man in Georgia to walk through this Walmart with a box of shells and a gun? He was like, I never really thought about it like that. hold on. Let me get you your case and then I'll walk you out. It just.
Yeah. Those aren't the things he had to think about.
Like, that's crazy to me.
Well, you know.
He will set me up to be murdered.
Well, I mean, yeah, he didn't mind if you do that.
Think about that. Like, if I would have walked out of that, all it took was for one little white lady to scream.
Yep. Now, as with many of the stories that probably you and I will have versions of, mine is a much smaller level story. But I was running an audition couple months ago in Santa Monica, so that means I'm checking people in for their audition. And the audition was like a hand model thing, and so they were just chopping stuff. So mm-hmm. there were a lot of chefs and everything. But one dude comes in, and so you had to bring your own knife.
Oh.
And so these chefs, but they have, you know, the bag with the knives and everything. One guy comes in, jeans and a white T-shirt, holding like a fucking huge chef's knife.
Right.
Up in the air like this, you know, not proper knife holding either. And he just walks in. And now he had walked probably from his car in Santa Monica. And right. it was a white dude. You know, but that's the one thing we were all saying. All the hands in the thing were white. Him, but we were like, only a
shot.
White guy can walk through the streets with a knife.
And think it's okay.
Right. And it's only a knife, too. He probably could have done it with a gun and been okay.
Man, they've killed black people for having.
I know. Yes.
Bottle opener.
Yeah. Or less. Nothing. I actually.
A LaCroix.
Yeah.
Can.
Don't pick. Please don't.
Right.
Don't threaten me with that. I met Obama years ago. He came to a show before he was the president. Right when he was about to run.
Mm-hmm.
And we called the show Between Barack and a Hard Place. Look it up, folks. Great show. Great reviews. Anyway, I had a thing where I had to come out with this machine gun. Now, it was a toy machine gun and everything. But I was kind of scared because we didn't talk to anybody about it. And I was like, if I should I tell someone that I'm going to walk out with this like machine gun? And it probably didn't look like a real machine gun. I don't know enough about it.
Machine guns?
Right? Yes, it is. I mean, I didn't get shot or anything, but after our show and everything, we're all backstage and everything, and one of the Secret Service guys comes up to us, and he's holding like this big, huge knife, and he's kind of like looking at us all, you know, serious like, and none of us, it wasn't in our show or anything, and he's like, "What's this thing here?" And then he shakes it, and it's like a rubber knife. So he had scared us, and then he reveals that it was like a like just him being a Secret Service agent had us all
right.
kind of scared. Like, and then his look at us.
It's like, it's his. Yeah. It's like, what? I don't know.
And then he shook it, and we're like, oh, Jesus, we're idiots. We should have known that that was a toy. All right, we were all over the place here with this, and we started late and everything. But we got really, really into some serious racial dynamics here, which... I thought it was a good conversation. Bob McNair, to tie back to that, you're saying he's a million years old.
Yes.
He's probably thought that for a long time.
Absolutely.
And this is just like him feeling like he can say it now.
Well, what happens when people get older, the filter...
Gone.
It's gone.
Yep.
So you may be at a dinner party with them, and they're just saying all kinds of crazy stuff, and then... You know, somebody will be with them and be like, hey, you can't say that. But if you just stick a microphone in front of them and be like, hey, what do you think about that? And then it just falls out. It's just
true.
Like, oh.
And I think right now, if you're kind of a old, rich, white millionaire, there's a lot of precedent that you can just say and do anything you want right now.
Oh,
and
so it's always been like that.
True. But it's been more, wouldn't you say?
Billionaire, by the way.
Yes, billionaire. Yes, they have always been able to. But I feel like there's a real... public like ability because of our president to say these things. Jerry Richardson's going to be selling the team because he opened his mouth. And I just feel like you're right. Along with the filter that removes with age and the filter that's removed with being a billionaire and being insulated from everything is also, I think, the filter of an example of like, hey, the time is now.
Yes.
Now's when let's come out. We've been hiding
our
real feelings or veiling them for so long. And now they're just coming out and saying it. Hopefully they'll still pay the price necessary.
It's almost like he wanted to say the monkeys in the zoo. We can't let the monkeys run the zoo. Now, that, right?
Yeah.
And that could have been his train of thought.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. I don't even know which is worse between monkeys in the zoo
it's
and
the
inmates
in
the
zoo.
Okay.
Yeah, it's definitely the monkeys in the zoo.
It's all right.
Just so you don't leave here and say that out there in the streets.
I appreciate the education I get every second here. This is good. I shouldn't. It's very clear, everyone, which is wronger. My God. Both are wrong.
Both are wrong.
One is wronger. All right. Well, with that misstep, I think that's a good way to go out here. We could talk about the playoffs and Kyrie, but we'll have more time to talk about that.
We'll be back, and
we'll figure out some more bits and fun stuff to do. I appreciate again Ephraim for being here with us, and I appreciate you listening if you've made it to this part. And catch us again on the Sports Dump. Have a good one.
Bye.